Friday from the studios in Eugene, Oregon. It's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Cliff and Robin show. I'm the Robin part of it.
I'm the Cliff part of it.
And by the way, as we got a lot to talk about, by the way, and let's get the phone numbers out real quick. And if you can dial that, good luck to you. 646-721-9887. Gotta love live radio. 646-721-9887. We have a few topics on the docket today, but as always, if there's something you wish to talk about, give us a call, and we'd be more than happy to. Things talking in my background here. Probably one of those, you know, you click on a website and it starts playing something. I hate those.
Oh, yeah, that's the end thing now. Everybody does that.
Yes, autoplay.
Sometimes it's very annoying because it's a news page that I want to watch or look at or whatever. But most of the times I just, if it happens, I just turn off. I don't want to bother to go there.
Well, I have a thing called a mute button, which sometimes I have to use.
Hello, are you there?
Hello. Did I lose you? Hope not. If the computers have been...
Hello, test 1-2.
I can hear you. Can you hear me? Testing 1-2. Okay, it's going to be one of those days again. Let's see if I'm broadcasting.
1, 2, 3, 4. What's happened to me here?
I don't know. I think I'm broadcasting. So anyway, Cliff is trying to hear me. Hopefully you can hear me. Again, give us a call, 646-721-9887. If you're listening to us on the archives, emails, you can always send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com.
Sometimes we'll even get it.
We do get it. Oh, I guess it means I'm back. Anyways, in addition to some of the news topics we have on our docket today, and again, I want to encourage you, if you have something you want to talk about, the staff here at KRBN, by the way, wanted me to share something with you since you are in the remote studio and don't deal directly with the staff.
Okay.
They want to know what happened to the Friday donuts.
What happened to the Friday donuts?
Yes.
Well, they got stale. I mean, it was so early, and for some reason or other, the Friday donuts didn't last as long. We have flowers here that my sister brought home, flowers on the that were nice and fresh, but they just got stale real fast, and so did the donuts.
Oh, okay. How good. You hear that, guys?
So I had to eat them.
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to let them go to waste.
Cliff, step forward, doing the humanitarian thing, being diabetic and everything, to save the donuts. He stepped in at all.
The ones that had frosting on them, I licked the frosting off so I didn't have to eat that.
You were the one that did that and put it back in the box?
No, I didn't put it back in the box. I ate it after... I licked the frosting off, but I didn't have to eat the frosting because I licked it off.
Anyways.
Why not?
A couple things we want to talk about. Cliff, I don't have much information on it. I apologize, but you wanted to talk a little bit about what's going on in Ferguson. And then later on, as I promoted in the description for the program today, we have a... something that's upset local residents in addition to the riots at Ferguson. But let's start out with that, Cliff.
Which?
Ferguson.
Well, Ferguson. Well, everybody's been talking about Ferguson. That's the thing to do lately because, I mean, they actually declared not martial law, but they declared
emergency.
A what?
State of emergency and imposed curfew.
They declared a curfew. Everybody's a little upset about it, but they didn't say anything. I watched I don't know if you've watched very many news conferences on television or not, but usually a news conference comes on and somebody says whatever they have to say, and there's two or three questions that are answered, and it's all done fairly, you know, when everybody starts yelling questions at them, at the people that were talking, and they very soon quiet down and get one at a time. Well, we sat there for an hour and a half of people screaming questions, and they didn't slow down and didn't calm down. It's a very, very, very charged discussion about Ferguson. It's just really amazing how much is going on there. That people are very upset about, and it's a lot going on. How do you spell Ferguson?
Okay.
Oh well. Anyway, the thing is, it's amazing. The people are literally, well, first of all, actually people are being killed.
Right.
A couple of them have gotten killed in the process of this, but lots of them are hurt. But the important thing is, people are having their rights and their things taken away from them because of, well, you know, if you don't do what, I don't want to say you don't do what you're supposed to do. We're not little kids, but we are being treated like little kids because we're acting like little kids mostly. That's the biggest thing. We're acting, adults and kids are acting rather stupidly out in this situation where they're, you know, literally buildings have been blown up. Buildings have been torn down, stores have been destroyed, a grocery store where a lot of the stuff took place was first of all destroyed and then looted and then burned.
Right.
And people are just getting really carried away. And these, you know, these people in this news conference were actually news people, and they were supposedly adults, and they should have known better than what they were doing, but they were all screaming and yelling. And the thing, well, one thing, the governor of Ferguson, of Missouri, wasn't very good at controlling the crowd. He just stood there with his mouth closed, and you could see he was doing everything in his power just about to control himself because he was pissed.
Yeah.
I mean, there was just no way around it, and I don't blame him. I mean,
At the incident, or was he pissed off at the people?
At the people, at the paparazzi. Like,
yeah, and sometimes I think that people are just looking for an excuse. Like a quick summary of this is that they're upset because a police officer shot and killed a black teenager, Michael Brown, by a white police officer, and that's what their excuse is for rioting. And, of course, they're claiming that he's innocent or whatever, but they have videos where Brown actually, as my slow computer's going, did a strong arm robbery in Ferguson. So, you know, he's not all innocent.
Well, now hold on here.
Yeah.
First of all, when the officer shot this Brown guy, he did not know about the robbery.
Okay.
He had not been told about the robbery. The robbery had taken place like 15 or 20 minutes earlier, and he was not there. And so I think Brown, this guy, he was aware, or he wasn't aware that the officer didn't know that he was, that what he had done. So he, I think, had it in his mind that the officer was coming after him.
Uh-huh.
And what he was doing, the officer was, what was actually happening is this kid and maybe a couple of others, I'm not too sure about how many people, but they're walking down the middle of the street and they're blocking traffic. And the officer was pulling him over and asking him to get off the middle of the street, to walk down the side of the street or on the sidewalk or wherever there was, but along the side of the street. And I think he wasn't aware that the officer didn't know about what he had just done, the robbery he had just pulled, and so he was belligerent about the whole thing. And he as to how he tried to get a hold of the officer's gun, we're not too sure about that. That never came out exactly, because there's no video of this. That's they're, one of the things they were talking about during this whole thing was how we need to get video in the police cars in such places, because that could have solved this whole problem in this thing. But this particular thing, it was just between this kid and the police officer, and the police officer, the first thing they did is they hid him away. He wasn't talking to anybody. He wasn't even shown. He was gone. He was I don't know if the police department hid him away or if he just decided that he wasn't going to be around it anymore. But he wasn't around, and he still isn't. For a long time, for 4 or 5 days there, they wouldn't even identify who he was.
Uh-huh.
And so that was another thing that there was a problem with, is that they wouldn't identify who he was. But they have done that now. We do know who he was. But the thing is, this whole thing has been, I don't know, handled so poorly it's just totally everybody's unaware of what's going on. They don't know exactly the situation, and that's what they're doing right now. They had a press conference there with everybody there. Everybody was there, the mayor, the governor, the police chief, I don't know if the fire chief was there or not, but there was enough. There were a lot of people there that didn't speak, so he may have been there.
Well, maybe this will help, because according to USA Today, they have a timeline of the shooting. I won't read the whole thing, but I'll just summarize. 11:48 to noon, an officer responds to a call of six persons. 11:51, another call comes in about a robbery at a convenience store. The dispatcher gives a description of the robber and says the suspect is walking towards the Quick Trip convenience store. 12:01, officer encounters Michael Brown and a friend as they walk down the street. As you were just saying, Brown is shot to death as a result of the encounter.
Now, this is not true. This is not realistic. This is sort of what happened, but they aren't putting it together right. It's not the same officer.
Yeah.
I mean,
they just said the officer. They didn't say who. But also they didn't say, too, because according to and again, this is USA Today, in a 10-minute span between the call and the officer's arrival, Michael Brown is dead. 12:04, second officer arrives on the scene, followed by a soldier. What happened in those 10 minutes?
Well, see, that's a whole lot. First of all, the officer that was called to the was not the officer that shot him, I don't think.
Yeah.
It was not the officer who found him walking down the road. It was different people, and they didn't, you know, like I say, the man who found him walking down the middle of the road didn't know he had robbed the store. Didn't know anything about that. That was another officer who I saw him in the store and didn't ever see a cop car come during that particular time. So that was after the fact. The owner of the store did call, and the owner of the store tried to stop him from leaving with his, I don't know if we don't know if he got money or just, it looked like he just stole a bunch of cigars. And he wasn't a big thing, but he was pushing the owner of the store around and knocking him up against the counters, not the counter, but racks of merchandise. And so he wasn't being a nice guy, but he just, I think it was a different officer. See, it's not too sure exactly what happened. The store's cameras caught him on when he was in the store and what he was doing in the store. And there were two or three kids that were involved in that went out together. So I assumed he was with them when he was still walking down the street. And from what I could know, based on what was being done, it sounded to me like they were just being real punks and just walking down the middle of the street, just like kids do.
Well, here's what the St. Louis County Police Chief, Jill Belmer, said in a news conference. Belmer says Brown physically assaulted the officer, and during the struggle between the two, Brown reached for the officer's gun. One shot was fired in the car, followed by another gunshot outside the car.
Again, this is not true. This is not known. He doesn't know that because he didn't see that, and the officer didn't tell him that. Somehow or another, you know, if he was just telling him to get off the road, how did he get in the car?
Well, still, okay, because what it still doesn't say here is, even though it says Brown physically assaulted the officer, again, what led up to that point?
See, that's the thing. All it was him walking down this middle of this road. We don't know how, you know, there are a couple of situations where people have described him being in the car and wrestling for the gun and that sort of thing. But that doesn't make sense because it just there's no indication of how he got in the car. There was nothing there. He hadn't pulled him over yet. I mean, there's two or three explanations of what is going on, all of which you've read to me, and all of which are totally wrong. Because it was 1 o'clock that it ended, or somewhere around in there, that they ended this talk that they were saying that all these people were gathered together. And they didn't have any of this information. This was not information that wasn't available because it didn't happen necessarily. I mean, they didn't know what happened. Nobody knew exactly what happened, and there was no one there, cameras there or anything to show what happened. And, of course, the kid that got killed wasn't there to protect himself or defend himself in any way. And the only other people who were considering, who they're considering as eyewitnesses, would definitely go with the kid's side of things. I mean, they were kids themselves. They were with him. And so they were not going to tell the true story exactly, necessarily. So we don't know what happened. And there's still an investigation going on about the whole thing. So it's really it's really screwed up, is what it is. And it's, you know, the store being robbed and the other incident were not related at all. Other than the fact that I'm sure that when this cop rolled up behind him and hit his siren and asked him to get off the road, I'm sure that the guy had in his mind, he doesn't know that the officer doesn't know anything about what he'd done.
Right.
And so he's a little upset. Now, why, and it's, there's still no correlation of how he got in the car, how he got in there to try to get this gun away from the cop, and because there's just no logical progression that shows you how it happened. There are several people who say it happened, but I'm not sure that I believe them.
Well, of course, the never giving up a chance to stir the fire, so to speak. Hal Sharpton is now on the scene with his cronies trying to...
I wouldn't believe a word Al Sharpton said. I would very much, very happy to put him in jail permanently.
Yeah, but
he's a rabble rouser.
That's my point. Whenever there's something like this going on, here's Al Sharpton. All he does is make matters worse. You know, but in addition to that, we have, as you started mentioning earlier, Representative John Lewis is calling on President Obama to use executive authority and declare a martial law in Ferguson in order to try and gain control of the situation. It's like, do you recall ever in the United States where we had to declare martial law in an area?
No, I don't. I don't recall it. I'm sure it has been done, but it doesn't make any difference because he's not going to. They have everybody there, the police department, the fire department, the sheriff's department, everybody is there, and everybody is guaranteeing you things are going to calm down tonight. See, what happened, this happened a week ago, and this has been going on all this time, and everything was quieting down, everything was getting better, until last night when all of a sudden it all flared up again, and everybody, now tonight, all the police department and the sheriff's department and everybody, the governor has put the let's see, we've got all these people. The governor has put the, not the sheriff's department, but the patrol, highway patrol, in charge. And they say, the highway patrol said that tonight they were not going to have big groups of people. They were not going to have, you know, like tanks on the road or anything like that. They were just going to be normal and allow everybody to be normal themselves. But there is a curfew at midnight till 5. And so at midnight till 5, they're going to ask people, and this is a big thing they made a big point of. They were just going to ask people nicely to get off the road.
Yeah.
And they think that's going to do something? They think that's going to work? These people are pissed. These people are upset. And they're not going to get off the road by somebody asking them. They should, but they're not going to. So my question is, are they going to have the entire highway patrol and sheriff's department and everybody else in a room, just in backup, waiting to be called? Because if they don't, there's going to be some people die. That's just all there is to it. This is a horrible situation. This is the only thing that I sit sometimes and be glad of the fact that I live where I live, because we can't have floods, we don't have earthquakes, we don't have a lot of these things that other people worry about. But this is something that could happen in any town. It could happen here. I don't see it happening here, but it could. And it's nothing you can do about it. It's just the way it is. And I tell you, if we ever even got close to anything like this happening here, I'd just get in my car and leave.
Exactly.
That's all there is to it.
By the way, in answer to my question, according to Wikipedia, the most recent, we actually do have several instances where we had declared martial law. The most recent one, according to Wikipedia, is 1961,
yeah,
where Governor Patterson in Montgomery, Alabama, declared martial law as a result of outside alligators coming into Alabama to violate our laws. And that's, oh.
Outside what?
Agitators, I'm sorry.
Okay.
The alligators are coming! Okay. I love working nights. Anyways, coming into Alabama to violate our laws and customs, which led to outbreaks of lawlessness and mob action. Before that was during World War II, between 1939 and 45, in the territory of Hawaii, as they said, went under martial law from December 7th, 1941 to October 24th, 1944, during the attack of Pearl Harbor. Before that was San Francisco, 1934. Governor Frank Marion placed the docks of San Francisco under martial law, signing riot and, I don't know what that word is, resulting from a dock worker strike. Then there was a Tulsa riot in 1921, which the Oklahoma National Guard declared martial law. West Virginia Coal Wars, 1920-21, was declared in the state of West Virginia. Governor Cornwell, federal troops had been dispatched to the Mingo County to deal with striking miners. I just got a couple more. Colorado Coal Field War, 1914, imposed martial law on the so-called Colorado Coal Field War. I'm just skipping back. San Francisco earthquake, 1906. The troop station in the Presidio was pressed in. The martial law service guard was posted throughout the city, and all dynamite was confiscated. Probably a good move there. Cortland, Idaho, 1892, striking mine workers blew up the mill. Okay, that'd be inconvenient. The Great Chicago Fire in 1871, Chicago Mayor Roswell B. Mason declared state of martial law and placed General Philip Sheridan in charge of the city on October 9, 1871. And then, of course, again to New Orleans, Louisiana in the War of 1812, and the American Revolution was also won. So that's, again, according to Wikipedia.
Well, that's interesting that so many times it has been used, and it seems to be used less and less as the time, as we get closer to current time. I mean, less and less, I don't know if there's less and less reasons that we just don't bother or we handle it another way or what.
Well, it is in the Constitution. According to this, it's in the Article 1, Section 9 of the U.S. Constitution. I do know that it is part of FEMA, that they, under certain conditions, they can suspend the Constitution and declare martial law.
Have to suspend the Constitution to do that?
Say again?
They have to suspend the Constitution to do that?
They have the ability to do that, yes.
Okay. Well, it is interesting, and I can see it, and I can see where this might be a case where they're going to need to do that, because simply, you know, of course, what do they do when they declare martial law? They get a hold of every possible law enforcement agency there is and get them in there to handle this, because we're talking about a lot of people here. This is not a big town, but it's also not a small town either.
Right.
I mean, there's about 25,000, 30,000 people in this town, I think. But it's something that's going to I'd be really surprised if we didn't have a big blow up tonight after midnight. I'd be really surprised if we actually did handle this possibly correctly enough to literally get everybody off the road.
And as you're saying, like, you know, the way people are handling it, here's a news alert that just came up. It says that protesters loot store allegedly robbed by the shooting victim. And so, I mean, there's no reason to do that. I mean, it's one thing to get out there and protest and saying that we disagree with what happened or whatever, but to actually get out there and start, you know, looting and doing that type of violence.
Well, that's the thing. They've done this twice already. When the first night it happened, they broke into a store and looted a store, and I think there was two of them, and that one of them was that little grocery store, and then by the second time, this last night I think it was anyway, the things tensions flared again, and they destroyed another store and looted it too. So it's been going on, and some of the people, the officers. Mentioned that it was apparent that they had just come down there because they thought they could loot the store and get away with something and go back home again, I think. So, you know, we've got the people there who are blowing up about just the actual incident, and then we got other people there that are just there to take advantage of the situation, and that's the problem is, the, you know, and it, there's a huge thing about it on the television. I mean, ABC, NBC, CBS, you know, CNN, and whatever the other one is, they were all doing this big thing about it, and they all talked about it, and they all explained what happened and how many people were there, and it's only going to blow it up even more, I think, tonight. And more people yet are going to show up because of that fact that it was on every network and every store, every channel for a while there.
Yeah, and that's why I say we don't need any help with rebel rousers like Al Sharpton getting out of glory.
That's the thing, and he just now showed up. He was in on it originally, but he gets in there. He seems to think that he can have something to say about everything, and it's not true. He's being more trouble than he's worth, and it's beginning to be apparent because all of the news commentators that I saw on television, and I watched several because when something like this happens, I pop back and forth between them and watch them, but they were all saying, not a single one of them had a kind word to say for Al Sharpton.
Yeah.
People are getting really tired of him showing up and becoming involved in things, and I think he's going to show up. One of these times, once too many times, and going to find himself shot or something because he's constantly in there and constantly making a problem. He's a rebel rouser. That's all he is.
Exactly. The best way to handle people like him is for crowds to just walk away and ignore him.
But he's not. But the thing, he's not there for the crowds are. He's only there where cameras are.
Exactly.
And so that's the thing. And I'm afraid he's going to. Because see, if you get on camera, and get well enough known, people are going to recognize him. And when they do that, then a lot of people are not happy with what he has to say. And he's going to find himself, I think, in big trouble one of these days because he gets involved in too many things, just constantly. Everything that has to do with anything, he's in there saying something about it. And he's going to have big trouble some of these days. And I'm going to be very honest with you and be terrible, but I'm not going to cry. It's just, I don't care because he doesn't need to get his big fat mug in the middle of everything. It doesn't need to do that.
Yeah, obviously, right. Well, like you say, people are just thinking of him as a joke. And speaking of a joke, we're halfway through the program. How do people get a hold of it if they want to say something?
Well, it'd be interesting because 646-721-9887. I'd really like to hear what anybody has to say. I mean, somebody's got to have a thought about this. I mean, there was a huge discussion about this when they were having their news thing. I mean, just nobody would stop talking. People were screaming and yelling and hollering. So I'd love to have you give us a call and tell us what you think. 646-721-9887. I can't imagine you have gone the whole day and not heard all about what was going on because it's been going on. This whole story has been going on for a week.
Yeah.
And unless you're like Robin and you don't have a television or a radio in the house.
Yeah, and you work all the time. Speaking of working, let's say we're on the second half of the program. What do you say we do? What the heck?
Okay.
You have got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
Okay, and this award goes out to the Willingboro, New Jersey, the deputy mayor out there. Now, granted, as Cliff has pointed out to me, that the Kennedy Center, not the Kennedy Center, but Willingboro, New Jersey, has a Kennedy Center in order to honor the late President John F. Kennedy. And like areas that honor people, you know, they have the JFK School, they have the John F. Kennedy Drive, et cetera, et cetera. And anyways, one of their John F. Kennedy Center, or Kennedy Center, which is up for renovation,
And I didn't know that there were bunches of Kennedy Centers. I thought there was only one until today.
Well, just like there is Martin Luther King Boulevard all over just about every city, which
yeah.
My question is why can't we have some famous person have a shorter name because it's a heck of a word on the road. Anyways, not sure exactly how to do it, but Willingboro, which is basically a heavily black municipality, which to used to mean nothing except for our racist in chief in office now, which is how this is related to. Thanks to Obama, this is according to Deputy Mayor Jacqueline Jennings, who said thanks to President Obama, or a she didn't come out and say it, but pretty much relates to it, being black, says, I think that people have a sense of pride about him. We've had so many new people register to vote, people who have never voted before, people who have been disenfranchised, and all of a sudden, people wrapping around the buildings when the polls open, and a sense of history, everybody wanted to be a part of it. So as such, she suggested that we rename the Kennedy Center to the President Barack Obama Center.
See, I think this is ridiculous. It was built as a Kennedy Center. You know, it can remain the Kennedy Center. I understand the remodeling, but I don't think it's... Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right, and that's exactly how the residents are reacting to the announcement. She was very surprised that residents are sending online messages regarding this, and most of them are very angry. One resident wrote that the only place his name should appear is in school textbooks, stating that he was the worst president in our history, and the only change he made was making people not to be proud to be an American.
That's going a little carried away. I mean, just on the same token, another person wrote, "I love my president, I appreciate him, but why does he need to be referred to as the reflected on the center?" I mean, you know, just because he's president doesn't mean he should be named as something. I mean, there was a reason they named it the Kennedy Center in the first place. Now, some people say, okay, they could call it the Obama Kennedy Center. I don't even think that. That's not good either.
Yeah, that doesn't even sound good. But, again, they're doing it, you know, her reasoning for it is, as she said, you know, because it's a heavily black municipality and because we have a black president that we should honor the black president by renaming, you know. But, again, John, if, you know, comparing what the two presidents side by side for what they did for America, in my opinion, Obama is a long ways away from even being on the same street as Kennedy.
Well, this community was black when they named it the Kennedy Center too. So
exactly,
that should not enter into it. You know that.
Of course, the reverse would be true. If we were going, well, you know, so-and-so, a heavily white community, wants to rename it because we have a white president. You can imagine the outrage that comment.
Well, we don't know what the reason, you know, how they determined to name it the Kennedy Center in the first place. And someone should go back and discuss this. I assume the people are still here that did that. They need to go back and discuss with them why they named it the Kennedy Center in the first place and find out what they thought about it.
Well, before changing an iconic name like that, I can understand people wanting to update, you know, but if the residents, my opinion, if the residents are in favor of this, put it to a vote. If the residents are in favor of this, do it. That's what people want. If people don't want it and they say, you know, like some of these, you know, the respondents of this, if people are going no, but hell no, and ha-ha for asking, then, okay, fine, you suggested it, it got voted down.
You know, there's another thing that nobody seems to consider, and that's the fact that there are stores, you know, like Kennedy Nail Center, that would have to be changed.
Good example, like down here in Eugene, for example, we have a road that connects Eugene and Springfield. Springfield's separated by the Interstate 5, and it's Centennial Boulevard, you know, Centennial, la la la, you know.
Yeah.
And they decided to rename half of it to the Martin Luther King Boulevard. Well, that changed that created a whole can of worms because, like you were saying, businesses on that street had to update the phone book ads, their website, their business cards. It cost businesses a hell of a lot of money to make that change.
Yeah, I agree, and nobody ever considers that. I mean, you know, they consider the general public. Or they consider their own information, but they don't consider the fact that there are people who actually make their living at this, that are going to have to cost them a fortune, and that's not fair.
Exactly, and especially if you've already, I'm just thinking like some ads that, you know, certain ads ring in your mind, you know, this sticks to your mind, and if somebody has an ad, you know, so-and-so on Auto Row or whatever, and the road's actually called Auto Row, you relate that together, and then they come around and they change the name of Auto Row to, I don't know.
Ford Street.
Yeah, Ford Street or something else. Like, for example, we have a 3rd and 4th Street down here, which is a major thoroughway, and they renamed it to Pioneer Parkway East and West. Well, to me, it's still 3rd and 4th Street. We have somebody else that... what's the guy's name? Pape or whatever that was Beltline, which was then renamed to, I think, Highway 18, 16, or 15, and then now it's Ed Pape Highway or something like that. And at that day, basically, is just a guy that had a lot of money that supposedly gave to the community, quote unquote.
You should give it to all the businesses have to change their name.
Exactly.
That's what he should be forced after he's done that and paid for them to help change their name on all the signs. Then you can have what's left over to give away.
Well, that's the other thing too, is that all the street signs have to be changed. Now that we use a lot of GPSs, all that, the maps have to be changed. Great. Go ahead and honor the guy, but do it to a brand new road.
Yeah, yeah. There's lots of other things that you could name it as, and if you know, there's no need to. Once you've named the road, you should have thought about it harder enough and long enough that you can stand by that name.
Yeah. Well, just like going to Medford, Oregon, for example, they have this habit of moving their off-ramps. And so you're going, you're looking for a place, and it says be prepared to take off-ramp. I'm just going to throw a number out there within a quarter mile. And you get out there, there's no off-ramp. Where is it? They moved it like a quarter mile down. So, Garmin or whatever hasn't updated their map, so they don't know about it.
Well, that's ridiculous because that's to move an off-ramp, that's expensive.
Yeah.
That costs a lot of money. So to move that's ridiculous. So, I understand that it may be necessary because of the way they're changing the streets and the roads and things. But
I'll give you a good example of that. And one more topic I want to touch on before we're out of time here. On Interstate 5 going over the Willamette River, when they were going through and checking the bridges for cracks and everything, they determined that we have a interstate bridge that had cracks in it and needs to be replaced. So what they did is that they built a temporary, quote-unquote, bridge over the river and rerouted traffic onto that. And it was a full bridge. And then I think it was a year or two later, or maybe three or four, whatever, wasn't that long, they went ahead and finished reconstructing the original bridge and tore down the temporary bridge. Now, the thing is that as they're able to throw up this one bridge, I think it took them a year to do, to handle the interstate traffic on I-5, why didn't they just do what they needed to do to make it a permanent bridge instead of going through the expense of building a temporary bridge and tearing it down to have another bridge built right next to it?
I think possibly you look and find out the cost different, because when you're repairing and making the old bridge good again, it doesn't cost you as much as making a new bridge.
No, they tore down the old bridge. They completely tore it down. They built a temporary bridge and then tore that down after they rebuilt another new bridge. So in other words, they built a whole bridge that handled interstate traffic for years, and then to tear it down again for another bridge. So instead of building the temporary bridge...
Well, they should have made the temporary bridge permanent.
That's my...
And then rebuild the old bridge and have twice as big a bridge.
Exactly. And then they had to put up some metal-type art that people are looking at and go, what the hell is that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one
well,
of
the highways department, some of what they do, I think, is simply done because they need jobs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like what goes on in your vicinity of Cottage Grove, that center medium on Interstate 5, they made a career out of that, and I still don't know what they accomplished. I think because it's separated by a medium probably about, 20 feet wide, 30 feet wide, something like that,
yeah.
Two lanes, and they were digging around inside there. I think they built an underground complex.
See, that's something you don't know about. We didn't know about all the underground tunnels that there are coming into the United States.
Yeah, exactly.
And we still don't know. Supposedly, most of them are supposedly, I don't know if they've been filled in or what they've been doing, but they've been taken care of, supposedly. We don't know that either. We don't know about what they're still there and things are happening, and we just don't know what's going on. And so we don't have really, we supposedly have good information that comes from our news departments and our media people, but we don't really. I mean, I watch the news, and I watch the news on television, and I listen to it on the radio every morning. I read it on the Internet, and the only thing wrong with reading the news on the Internet is that you have to know what to look for.
Exactly.
I mean, you can look at Google, you can look at all these other things that supposedly have all the information, but they don't have all the information. And consequently, unless you know what you're looking for, if you know what you're looking for, almost everything is there, but you've got to know what you're looking for. And so that's the only problem with the Internet. There's I don't know.
Well, and don't rely on one source. I'll give you an example. The New York Times, and apparently it was a commentary or a blog or whatever, but they put out what looked like a very legitimate news article. And the sad part about it is because some of these smaller news outlets didn't do their homework. The news article was Obama's trip to Russia, and they said he actually cursed at President Putin. And it turned out not to be true. It was, in fact, even somewhere listed in the news article, it said that it was a spoof. And people fell for it. And it was brought, I saw this in my investigation on this, when I saw this, and I'm thinking, you know, even Obama can't be that stupid. And, you know, finding these little tiny news sources that are repeating it verbatim, but it wasn't repeated by any of the majors. But because it came from the New York Times blog or something like that, had New York Times in it, people took it as gospel, and they didn't really, you know, do their homework.
That's true. People just assume when they get the information from certain places. And it's easy to name something anything you want it to be
right on
the Internet. You can have a page called the New York Times if you want to, and until the New York Times sues you for defamation of character, you can have it there, and people can believe it's the real thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be enough different. For example, the New York Times, it can't be exactly the same.
You call it the New York at Times, and no,
or that, or you can just call it the New York dash Times.
Yeah.
I mean, any small thing, any one little character that makes it different is acceptable. And so, you know, how do you know which one you're getting when you're reading one of the news? So it's really interesting. You know, the Internet is great, but there are some things you have to watch for when you're using it as an information source.
Exactly. And speaking of 10 minutes remaining in the program, 646-721-9887. And speaking of worldwide stuff, President Obama, I don't know what we're going to do with him, but apparently the people around, the leaders around the world are kind of wondering the same question. As they're asking, where is Obama? One of those particular people is French Foreign Minister Lieutenant Fabius, stating that, hey, Mr. President, people are dying. Get back into the White House. He continues, this is from the Daily Mail in the UK. He says, but when people are dying, you must come back from vacation. Minister Fabius is referring to President Obama's two-week vacation on Martha's Vineyard while Islamic State terrorists take over Iraq, otherwise known as ISIS. He continues saying, I know it is the holiday in our Western countries, but when people are dying, you must come back from vacation. The United Nations also has declared its highest level of emergency in Iraq, where an estimated 1.2 million people have been internally displaced by ISIS militants.
This whole thing is ridiculous. The French president, and he's not even the French president, he's a French ambassador. He's a nothing, and we shouldn't be listening to him in the first place. In the second place, even if it was the French president, he's not the one who decides what we should do or what our president should do. When it's where it should be at any given time. It's just not the way it's done. And if the president is on vacation, I mean, even, who knows if he was here for every little thing that happened, he would never get a vacation. That's the beginning. And in the second place, he can handle almost anything that needs to be done that's of importance to him from his vacation home. From wherever he happens to be, I don't know where they are now, but anything that needs to be, you know, a decision making, you don't need to be back at the White House to put your brain in gear. Hopefully, you can put your brain in gear anywhere you need to do so. In the first place, we're talking about Obama. It wouldn't make any difference if he was back at the White House or if he's at home. the brain still doesn't work right. So consequently, he can put it in whatever gear he wants it to be, and it's not going to make much difference. But the thing is, to say that he needs to be there, the people who count, the people who make the actual decisions, are there. And so consequently, to help with
it. The unfortunate point is like how we're perceived, not only locally, but around the world. Like the White House defended the President Obama by responding, saying that the President would return to the White House if there was a need for him, stating that it's not a long flight back. They also said that in the meantime, President Obama is scheduled to make a brief return to Washington this weekend before resuming his holiday. Even I'm jumping around.
Well, see, again, he doesn't need to be there to make a decision.
Right.
He just doesn't need to be there. There's nothing at the White House, for that matter, even there's no one at the White House that should help him make his decision. If there was someone at the White House that would help him make his decision, he could bring him to wherever he is. That, the road goes two ways.
Exactly. Well, but we're talking about a president that doesn't even take his daily briefing seriously and half the time misses it.
Well, if there was something in the daily briefing that was of interest, someone would tell him so, and he'd listen to it. I mean, what's a daily briefing? The daily briefing is where you sit down at this big, long table at the White House, whatever center it is, and everybody tells you what's going on. The thing is, it doesn't need to be that way. One person could get all that information and take it to wherever he is and relay the information to him. Or if it was really of interest enough. See, most of these people are sitting there. They're talking about the daily briefing, and their name is called on, and they probably have to think to come up with something to say anyway. And so consequently, it's just a bunch of bunk. If there was anything of interest, anything that was going to be earth-shattering, anything that was going to affect the world, he'd know it, and he'd know it before the daily briefing.
Yeah, in fact, I'm looking at his schedule now, and not really much on it. But, again, it's a perception, and, this president is taking a lot of vacations, which I don't know how it relates to the others. I don't have the figures in front of me. He's delivered over 400 fundraisers since he's been president.
Well, the thing is, things have changed. This daily briefing business, there was a time when that was important. There was a time when it was important for you to be there and get that information. But everything electronically is different, and everything in every way is different. I mean, the world has changed, and consequently, the president can be completely up to date as to what's going on anywhere, anytime, from anywhere, anytime. And he doesn't have to be at the White House. In fact, it probably doesn't even help him to be at the White House.
Well, it almost makes you wonder, what do we need a president for? I mean, when you get ready.
Well, we need the president. We just don't need the White House.
Yeah.
I mean, the White House is fine. And I understand the reason, in my opinion, the reason for the White House, because it's 280 jobs or something like that, the people cleaning it, people doing this and that and the other. I mean, there's a huge amount of money involved in that. But the thing is, it doesn't need to be that way. I mean, the president could just as easily do this from his home. I mean, I wouldn't want to say that every president has to do it from his home. It's nice to have a White House and nice to have an office to do this at. It doesn't need to be so grandiose as the White House, but we have the White House already, so why not? And the thing is, since we've got it already and we've had it for years and years and years, somewhere along the line we decided we needed it. Consequently, since we have it already, we'll use it at times. I mean, some people, they actually live there. I mean, this place of vacation, I don't know whether he's, I don't think he's in one of his own homes. A lot of people go to their own home to just vacation. But I don't think he has enough of a home to go to, so he's probably gone to some island or something.
Yes.
But
it's you live in the vacation house. And
the thing is, it's just ridiculous that that we require him to be at any particular place. The information can be delivered to him just as it could. Like I remember, you know, a president sitting there talking to a bunch of kids and somebody whispered in his ear, and that's all it took. And he had the information that quick.
Right.
I mean, and he didn't even bother to get up to jump up and do anything about it. He had the wherewithal to keep his cool and sit there and finish reading his story and then getting up and saying, gee, hope you had fun, kids. I've got to go to work.
Yeah.
You know, and that's and that's good because you don't want to scare the kids to death, for God's sakes. So, consequently, I would be a little worried about what would happen if that had happened to Obama. He'd probably jump up and down and scream and holler and make a hell of a mess.
What about this attack's going to interfere with my vacation or my
family? Yeah, right, right. Anyway, I don't have any real... I'm terrible today. I can't all of a sudden think of words. But never mind.
Yeah, I'm doing research here real quick because the vice president was delivering remarks on legal access for unaccompanied illegal immigrant children, which, by the way, leads up into the few minutes remaining here. Yes, the Department of Education, by the way, is letting everybody know in every state and community that, according to the law, by the way, those illegal children that are coming across the border are going to be in your neighborhood because, by law, they are allowed access to education. And
see, that's not true. All United States citizens are, but these are not citizens. These are not even... They're criminals.
According to DHS, and I'm quoting, all children in the United States are entitled to equal access to public elementary and secondary education regardless of their parents' actual or perceived natural origin, citizenship, immigration status, according to the Department of Education.
Well, we need to help the Department of Education out a little bit because this is ridiculous. I mean,
the thing that they're not sure of is, and again quoting, there is no word yet from the Department of Education or local school districts about whether children in the country illegally will be properly vaccinated before starting school in the fall, citing many places such as Arizona, Texas, starting the school next week. Well, most communities that I'm aware of, that is a requirement before you can even come to class, that you have to be vaccinated.
But are they going to be in the school? You know, they could be there where everybody there is unvaccinated, so it wouldn't make any difference.
Well, yeah. Well, we'll see how this plays out. We're out of time, folks. Again, thank you for joining us. We'll be back again next Saturday, 4 p.m. Pacific time. Again, send your cards and letters by email. And talk to arbnradio.com. And if there's something that you would like us to talk about or have a comment, Cliff, you got the last word.
Okay. Never mind. You were interrupted by this voice. It comes out. Well, be good. I'll be more than happy to come back, and we'll discuss all this stuff again next week. There's lots of things going on in this world, perhaps more now than there usually is, but we'll be here to discuss it.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.